Chapter 24. Jag leapt up, high above the opening in the floor, and dropped through into hard vacuum. Passing through the area of the habitat's artificial gravity, he slowed in his descent, but continued downward, the metal track close by, into the deeper darkness of the large gash in the asteroid surface below. He thought he could feel his feet hit the atmosphere containment field there. Whether he could or not, he felt his rate of descent slow further as he encountered the friction of atmosphere.
"I'm in."
He cycled through his helmet sensors. The basic sensors showed cavern walls all around, at distances of 30 to 100 meters. There were a few faint gleams from glow rods on the metal rails. Other than that, all was dark.
"You're going to need some lights."
A moment later, his sensors showed Jaina and Zek dropping feet first after him. They held lit glow rods, so he could see them with his naked eyes as well. The glow rod light reflected from the irregular surfaces of the transparasteel foil masks they wore for their brief exposure to hard vacuum. Jaina's voice crackled in his ear.
"We just felt her reaching out for us."
Jaina and Zek vectored in their slow freefall, an act that would be impossible for normal people, but Jag assumed they simply used the force to shove themselves laterally. The maneuver allowed them to drift to within reach of the metal track. They did not grab it, but occasionally reached out a hand or foot to brush against it, directing them smoothly down its length. Jag touched his thruster pack to slow himself to their descent rate. There was something on his sensors, something big but indistinct on the far side of the widest part of this cavern. Jag rotated and pointed in that direction, alerting the others. It rushed toward them, streaming through the air, growing more distinct as it came. A flock of Minox. Aboard the Millennium Falcon. A thump against the Falcon's cockpit viewport prompted Leia to turn forward again. There was something outside the viewport, resting against it, a gray, fleshy mass with an enormous gaping mouth full of sharp teeth. Han stared back at the thing, unruffled.
"Minox, sweetheart. Give me a minute, I'll burn him off."
He began typing in the commands Leia knew would send electric currents through the Falcon's outer hull.
"Wait!"
Leia reached out through the force toward the Minox. As she did so, it looked away from Han, straight at her. In the force, it was her husband. Leia gulped.
"Burn that, and you burn yourself. That Minox is a force phantom. And it's you."
Han looked outraged.
"A Minox? Kill me, sure. But does she have to insult me?"
"Han..."
"Hang on, princess. If I can't burn it off, I'll shake it off."
As Leia grabbed for the back of her chair, Han hit the thrusters. The sudden acceleration nearly took Leia off her feet, then ended abruptly as Han hit the retros, slamming Leia forward into the back of her chair. The Minox hurtled forward as if catapulted from the Falcon's cockpit. A few dozen meters away, it spread its leather arm wings and banked as if flying in atmosphere, wheeling around back toward them. Aboard the Poison Moon.
"The Falcon is maneuvering."
Dishon gave Aithella a nod and returned her attention to the forward monitor. It showed the Corellian freighter whirling in place, then accelerating away from the asteroid, and then, just as abruptly, vectoring to starboard. Dishon cocked her head. It looked as though the Falcon were engaged in a dogfight, but no opponent appeared on the sensor board. This was the second inexplicable event in just a few moments. Less than a minute earlier, Dishon had felt something brush against her in the force. That presence had moved on, seeming to settle elsewhere on the Poison Moon. Settling everywhere at once, as far as she could tell, but not doing anything. And now this. Wanis seemed unperturbed.
Orders, Captain?
They were now mostly shielded behind the last large asteroid positioned between them and the habitat. It wasn't all that large. If the Millennium Falcon's curious acrobatics took her farther and farther in random directions, she would inevitably detect the frigate.
Wait until the Falcon is oriented away from us, on one of her maneuvers. Then begin your run. The instant I determine that the Falcon has detected us, I'll issue the command, go. This means all weapons open fire on the Falcon. All shuttles launch. Instantly.
Yes, Captain.
What are we?
Perfect, Captain.
That's right.
The stream of Minox, 20 at least, flew straight at Jaina and her companions. She reached out in the Force to find them, and felt incongruously complex presences instead. One of them, the lead Minox, was unmistakably Jag, or at least bore his unique signature in the Force. The rest were unfamiliar to her, but definitely more complex, more alive in the Force than Minox.
They're all phantoms. One of them is you, Jag.
She got a grunt of confirmation. The lead Minox flew straight at Jag. He hit his thruster and twisted aside. The digits at the end of its right wing arm, grasping at him, missed him by a meter. Its lashing tail missed him by centimeters. Jag maintained his lateral thruster burn, carrying him away from the Minox and the Jedi. Most of the Minox followed him. Four veered toward the Jedi, a flyby attack made with lashing tails. Jaina and Zek got their hands on the metal track and had no difficulty twisting out of harm's way as the Minox attacked and passed. Jag's voice was calm, unrattled.
Keep going. I'll lead these away. We'll divide Alima's concentration, see if we can overload her.
Be careful.
With an exertion in the Force, Jaina pushed herself downward, causing her to slide much faster down the track. Zek followed. The last four Minox didn't. They wheeled for a moment, then took off after Jag. The light from their glow rods showed the track passing through a hole in the cavern floor, leading into another, deeper chamber. Aboard the Millennium Falcon, Han spun the Falcon, a barrel roll that would have made it next to impossible for a real Minox to reattach itself to her hull. But he lost sight of the creature by eye and by sensor, and wondered if it had managed to clamp onto the hull despite his maneuvers. Leia gripped the back of her chair in a ferocious Wookiee hug and glared at him.
"Remind me why I ever unstrap myself while I'm aboard this crate?"
"Because you're still looking for thrills. That's why you're still with me. Where's the Minox, sweetheart?"
Leia's face cleared as she searched in the Force. Then her expression began to change to one of alarm.
"Incoming fire!"
Han put the Falcon into another gymnastic tumble, even as he saw Leia's expression alter. Lances of light glared by outside as linked turbo lasers fired on them.
"Where'd she come from?"
On Han's sensor board, closing fast, was a small capital ship, an Interceptor-class frigate, to judge from her elongated spar of a body, broadened chisel-shaped bow, and blocky stern. As Han watched, thruster flares lit from the flanks and top hull of the frigate, and shuttles of several different vehicle classes launched, angling away from the frigate, away from the Falcon, toward the asteroid. Interceptors weren't much by capital ship standards, but they carried more turbo lasers than the Falcon, proton torpedoes instead of concussion missiles, heavier armor, heavier shields. The Falcon was outclassed. But Han was not going to leave, not with his daughter still prowling around the depths of the asteroid away from her Stealth X.
"I don't know,"
Where's the Minok?
Han felt a sudden chill. If the Minok phantom linked to him wandered into the path of the frigate's turbolasers, the attack would kill him as dead as any other.
I don't know. Gone.
In a brief moment of straight-line travel, Leia got to the front of her chair and hopped into it, facing backward to forestall any sneak attack from that direction, and resumed her death grip on the seat back.
Oh, now it's back again.
It was then that Ali Marar's voice floated, sweet and mocking, from deep within the Falcon.
Han? Han Solo?
The attack came as Jaina and Zek shot down through the hole into the next cavern. It was not signaled by any disturbance in the Force. Inert lumps on the rim of the hole into the cavern suddenly erupted into movement, became bipedal figures swinging 2-meter clubs. Reflexively, Jaina lit her lightsaber and parried. Her blow severed the club, revealing it to be a length of durasteel rail 3 or 4 centimeters in diameter. Her attacker was a protocol droid, sky blue, of ancient design and manufacture. Jaina hurtled past it. She heard a pained oof and looked up to see Zek, meters above her, descending more slowly. His attacker's rail was pinned under his left arm. His attacker, a scarlet protocol droid, still held the other end. They floated in Jaina's wake, slowed by the fact that what had been Zek's downward kinetic energy was now divided between them.
Sorry,
Zek twisted, and then he was a meter away from the track, his attacker right next to it. As Jaina watched, the protocol droid's head began banging against every cross-tie on the track, causing the head to bounce back and forth. The additional impacts and friction slowed Zek still more, causing him to drop farther behind.
Thought it might have been a Force phantom. Didn't attack it before it hit me.
Are you hurt?
A couple of ribs cracked, I think. Not too bad.
It sounded worse than that. Zek's breathing was labored. The red droid's head came off. The rest of its body went limp. Zek gestured, and both it and the metal rail went flying off into the darkness. Jaina returned her attention to her surroundings. Things weren't too bad. Ali Marar had enjoyed plenty of time to work up surprises for unwanted visitors, and so far nothing had been too strange or difficult for her hunters. The theory they'd developed concerning her Force phantoms and their limitations seemed to be proving true. On Kashyyyk and here, none had demonstrated an ability to project damage at range, as with a blaster. The phantoms seemed to be contained, confined to the limits of the bodies they simulated. Some could wield lightsabers, but that made a certain amount of sense, as the Jedi regarded their lightsabers as extensions of themselves. This might work. This attack might just work. Then Jaina felt a pulse of malevolence, followed by something approaching her, something too massive for her to deflect, moving too fast for her to dodge. The stream of Minox flitted by Jag, passing within meters, their angry eyes fixed on him. Several flicked their tails at him. 2 swooped close enough to be real threats. He raised his left arm, caught a tail end across his crush gaunt. The blow did not scar the metal. With his right hand he missed the other tail. It lashed across his chest, cutting a razor-thin gash in his flight suit, but doing no harm to the Beskar breastplate beneath. The blows sent him tumbling through the air in the Minok's wake. As much as he could, he bent toward the gash in his flight suit, clamping an arm across it as though he were injured. If anyone was watching, he needed to conceal the presence of his armor as much as possible. The Minox wheeled in unison. His blaster hand twitched, every instinct telling him to draw and fire. But they flew past too quickly. When they swept by again, he blocked 3 tail lashes before they were passed, and then felt a jerk as a 4th tail, grappling rather than lashing, wrapped around his left ankle and towed him along in the Minok's wake. The flock dived, heading toward a narrow gap in the cavern floor, far away from the rail track. Jag gritted his teeth. He was doing his job. He was keeping these Minoks off Jaina and Zek. If only he didn't hate this task quite so much. At the lowest level of the cavern complex, Alimarar sat on the chamber's stone floor. A few meters ahead of her sat the rail car that provided access between this chamber, the habitat, and all caverns in between. It rested at the bottom of the track, angled upward. A few meters to her left was the entrance into Darth Vectivus's private cavern, the one in which he had built his ridiculous mansion so long ago. The stone door that could seal the chamber was open. The artificial gravity in the chamber was active, and even here, outside its main area of effect, Alima could feel it, providing her with what seemed to be about half Coruscant's gravity. She was already panting, tired by the effort of maintaining so many phantoms at once. She didn't think she could handle much more gravity than that, unless she drew continually on the power of this place, which would have other consequences. How had Lumia accomplished what she had with the phantoms? With years of practice and tremendous will, Alima decided. She felt a little better. It was time to return to the war, to begin finishing off her intruders.